You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Yes, you are.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Multiplication.
Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started.
Resources.
As well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts.
Community.
You sound very low. You sound like you have very low energy today.
I was going to make a reference to the political campaign, but I think Jeb Bush has lots of energy, so I chose not to.
Well, he does. Did you say he has a loss of, or he has lost?
No, he has plenty. I know him. I've hung out with him. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Well, that's why his logo was Jeb with an exclamation mark.
Right? Like, I didn't think about that. Wow.
Jeb. Okay. So today, and before we get to our question, be sure to go to newchurches.com/essential campus pastoring, and you'll see our course, our newest course on the role of a campus pastor. So be sure to go there and check that out.
I didn't know we had a new course. Question. I wasn't a part of that.
No, because you don't really run in the multi-site world.
That's true.
Yeah. But we do feature you on Essential Church Planning. Like you are.
But I'm a teaching pastor.
You are the guy.
I'm a teaching pastor at Christ Fellowship, and we're multi-site. And I'm a teaching pastor at Harvest Naperville, and we're multi-site.
But you're not a campus pastor. I am not a campus pastor.
I really know nothing about campus pastoring. Matter of fact, my biggest concern is that campus pastors do more than just press play on the VCR. See, that made me sound old. Press play. Get that? I love that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because let's play. Which is not press play.
And just for our listeners, our campus pastoring course does not focus on a video venue sold.
It does not include any pressing play on a VCR or an HR.
No, that is not one of the competencies of a campus pastor.
It opens up a whole new area for ministry for people with a specific gift set. So I'm kind of excited you've done it, even though I really didn't know. So,
all right. So today we have a question from Neil Johnson. So
Neil Diamond?
Yes, Neil Diamond.
Hi, my name is Neil Johnson from Minnesota, and I have a question about churches. I was wondering what your thoughts were on churches in terms of youth ministry. I work as a youth minister up here in Minnesota. And what are your thoughts on youth ministry and being incarnational? Means like, you know, diving into the culture versus being true to the Word of God. And what are your thoughts on how a church can be incarnational in youth culture, be attractive to youth culture, but also be very true to the Word of God? So thank you.
Okay, but you got to admit, the way he asked the question at first, it sounded like, should we be incarnational or true to the Word of God? And so I was going to kind of say, so that's kind of a loaded question. But then the way he asked it second was, his desire was to how to engage culture without losing fidelity to Scripture. But I had to chuckle. Don't you think it sounded like the contrast there was a very, should we be incarnational or true to the Word of God?
Yeah. It would be a false dichotomy there. Well, what's interesting before we get to the question is just the breadth of our audience. Now, I know Neil's question is not a specific one on church planting or multi-site, but part of our podcast, we do answer questions on, and we do touch on ministry leadership, on pastoral ministry as well. But as I look through who is a part of New Churches, when I look at our members, those who purchase courses, those who download our stuff, it's fascinating to see the number of student pastors and children's ministers as well who are utilizing our resources and are possibly maybe one day thinking about planting or multi-site or another leadership position and how it's helpful to that. So I'm glad we have this question and why I wanted us to be able to answer it.
And youth pastors. Who wants to? I mean, youth pastors. Do we have to be nice to youth pastors? So No, I think it's good. I think it's good. And it's important too, because I think ultimately, because mainly our audience is church planners here on the podcast, but I think ultimately this question is both appropriate for church planners in what they're doing, but also is a question that youth leaders who are doing church planning ministry will have as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, when you look at youth culture, there I remember reading this book. Craig Rochelle has a good one on selfies, kind of the whole what technology has done. Youth Nation is another book that I would recommend by Matt Britton, and he talks about how youth culture, social media, selfies, how everything that's happening these days, how that really does affect the development of an individual. But I just remember being struck by this one story that Craig Rochelle shares in his book about individuals who would spend hours trying to have the perfect selfie. And if they didn't get enough likes in the first hour, they would delete it and try it again. Right. I know it sounds sad, but it's fascinating to even see how that's wired the way that we think, the way that youth are perceiving themselves. And there's this idea of, hey, they're one person socially, you know, they're one person on the internet and on social media and another person in reality. And when they get together, they're going to be, you know, they're texting more often than they're talking with one another. Or I remember being at a family zoo night in Nashville. It was a movie night where we were watching The Toy Story, and there were these two teens who were close to us. And for like 20 minutes, they were just lying on the blanket taking selfies of them. Like, they're just friends, and they're just taking selfies for like 20, 30 minutes. And I was like, what is happening here?
Wow. That is, yeah. And I have three daughters, and we actually had to have an intervention on one of them to quit putting so many selfies on her Instagram page. So,
yeah.
So it is, I mean, the reality is that we, and let me say, you know, we have lots of people ask questions, and you always sort of defer to me and, or you don't always, but occasionally you do. You want me to answer these questions, whatever. I don't know a lot about student ministry. So it's been a long time. Now, the one thing I know about student ministry is that I have three students of student ministry age. One just started college. And for me, I think the idea that his question really is undergirded by is, how do you engage culture, is the right impulse. But I think ultimately, even in asking the question, I love the fact that he's asking the biblical question, because I most of the student pastors I know sort of get youth culture, could be wrong, but most get youth culture. What is maybe harder is the discipleship and the necessity of discipleship that ultimately leads to a different response to the culture other than going along with it.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I'm desiring to see in the world today. Now again, I think that's not everywhere. I'm just saying that probably people who listen to our podcast are not the people who are unaware of culture and are failing to engage it and youth culture around them.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, when you think of, I mean, it goes back to this first question that he asked. How is there this difference between being, are you incarnational, or are you true to the word of God? And you know, we laugh at that because it's like, how is that even, or how are those even two things that go against each other? But in some instances, there are individuals who will, you know, be so relativistic to the word of God and so pluralistic and getting into the culture that they're like, oh yeah, well because the culture is so accepting of everyone, let's be accepting of let's say that there are a million different ways to God, right? Because we want to try to reach everyone. Or it's like, oh no, we don't, there's only one way to God, so you're wrong, and I'm not going to relate with you, right? So I mean, there's definitely this tension, and that's where, you know, where we look at, okay, the core of the gospel remains the same, but the methods that we use to reach successive generations have to shift, have to alter. We see that in Korea. I mean, Ed, what's fascinating, or every time I share with people that I used to pastor in Korea, and they're always like, oh yeah, how is it that Korea has so many mega churches, and how is it? And I'd always have to remind them, okay, so North Korea was more of the Christian center than South Korea was. right? North Korea is where the revivals happened, and there were a lot more Christians there before the war than South Korea. All the Christians in North Korea were martyred. After the Korean War, that's when South Korea began building up and the church began to grow, and a lot of the mega churches today were planted out of the Korean War. Right. So you look at all that, but then I have to remind them, but youth culture, students, college students in Korea are leaving the church in droves right now. Right. So the church in Korea has to, as much as at one point there were like 30%+ of the nation being Christian in less than 100 years from when it was like less than 1%. Now they're having to revisit that because the methods that worked before are not the methods that are working today.
Well, good thing I know less about Korea than I do about youth culture. So I am happy to lean on your expertise in both of these cases. So again, let me address the issue that may be the underlying issue that may address his question too, is that, I mean, ultimately it's a question of how far is too far, and there's no one line. There's no verse that says, you know, this far, no more. And so ultimately you want to acknowledge that to engage a culture is to inhabit a culture. So when he says incarnation, and that's, you know, some people don't like that language because, you know, Jesus was the only true incarnation in that sense. But basically, we're talking about living and inhabiting among a people, like in a sense, reflecting, you know, John 1:14, when it says, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Message paraphrase says, you know, that Jesus, you know, moved into the neighborhood. And so In a sense, we're moving into the neighborhood of students. I got to tell you, you know, I think as, you know, as a, if you're a 28-year-old youth pastor, trying to keep up with hipster youth terms is probably not the best way to move into the neighborhood. You know, I have a middle schooler. She comes home, tells me that the hip term right now is savage. Whenever somebody says something, you say, that was savage. And, you know, when I was a kid, it was burned. And then it was, you know, burned. And, you know, and so I don't go around students and say savage without them looking at me like a very strange middle-aged man.
They're looking for authenticity. Right. Yeah. So when I was a student pastor, I remember having older youth. I was thinking, OK, the best youth leaders are going to be college students. But honestly, there were some, we had these parents who were in their 50s at the time. And the amount of support and blessing and help they brought not only to us, but to the students. I mean, and they weren't trying to be cool. Right. They were just being themselves. And I think at that age for students, they're not looking for you to be one of their peers. Right. That's not what they're looking for. Someone who is authentic, who is genuine, who is real, who will listen to them and will share how the Word of God is relevant today, how the Word of God intersects their life today. Right. And to really to bring about that, not kind of cheesy. Yeah, I mean, don't be cheesy, you know?
Yeah, well, that's always good advice anyway. But let me nuance that a little bit, because I agree with everything you've said, every single word. But I still think his question, because I think sometimes, I mean, there's a whole lot of people who don't want to inhabit and engage culture who would say, well, I'm just being authentic. And there's a lot of authentic people who really need to learn to be incarnational, mm-hmm. who really need to learn to move into the neighborhood, to know. So what I would say is, I mean, I know what savage means. I mean, I use it. And I also know how to relate to, I mean, right as, you know, as we're recording this, I'm actually upstairs at my house and downstairs are a bunch of teenagers who talk, my jokes are dad jokes and things of that sort. But also too, I sit down with them and know their names. I can talk to them. So I think knowing the culture and engaging it in a way that's, you know, authentic is both, I think those are things you can do simultaneously. You can be authentic, you can be biblical, to phrase back to his question, and you can be incarnated in culture, inhabit culture well. I think all those things ultimately can matter.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, thanks again for listening in. Thank you, Neil, for submitting that question. Be sure to get your other questions in at newchurches.com. You can hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on a mobile device. We will catch you next time.